As has been mentioned, providing safe care to patients is an essential part of healthcare delivery. A team-based approach to patient safety is also essential to providing patients with the highest quality of care. Furthermore, quality metrics, including patient safety measurements, are becoming incorporated into physician payment models, emphasizing the importance of providing high-quality care. In our last dialogue, Dr. Kelly Nelson and Dr. Stephen Sciama discuss a team approach to patient safety and quality care.
Hello, my name is Steve Sciama, and it is my pleasure to be having a conversation with Kelly Nelson, Assistant Professor, Department of Dermatology, Duke University Medical Center in Durham, North Carolina. Kelly, welcome.
Well, I greatly appreciate the invitation to talk to you.
Now, you have a title of a talk that was really intriguing to me, Patient Safety and Quality Care, with a focus on the electronic medical record. So tell me what turns you on to this, why you want to talk about this locally, nationwide, wherever.
Absolutely. So my interest, it actually started with an interest in patient safety, is really where it all started. And it came out of having a situation in my own personal clinic where a specimen was mislabeled. And out of that, I realized that we could do things so much better in terms of consistency with how we manage biopsy specimens. And once I started really digging into the specifics of process improvement, I realized that it's all about communication. And specifically, making sure that you really understand all the steps that need to take place in any process, all the stakeholders that are involved. And then how you can break it down to the key steps that need to be repeated perfectly each and every time to make sure that a specimen isn't lost. I realized that everyone was doing their very best to make sure they didn't lose a specimen, but when everyone did everything exactly the same, all of a sudden as a department, we had a lot more consistency. And what we found was that some specimens were being lost once they left our clinic. And so it was then about communicating outside of our department and really trying to influence change among those who weren't directly in a reporting structure with our department.
Well, what I'm sensing is let's break it down to how you can deal with safety and change within a department and then outside the department. Let's deal with in the department. Let me give you an example. In my office, which was a private practice for many years, and there were new people coming in as physicians, I would have a rule that no specimen ever left the exam room that was being taken in without it being properly labeled with their name and some identifying.
Right.
And one of my staff was saying, I was looking at someone walking out of another physician's room, and she was saying, Dr. So-and-so said it's okay if I just put it in my pocket because he wanted me to go to another room and prepare another patient. And I said, well, that's not the rule in the office over here. And she said, no, he said it was okay. So what would you say to something like that, and how do you really kind of be the captain of the ship?
Right. The way that we approached that was that we made sure that the nurses were part of our initial discussions. We also had meetings where all the faculty were together and we talked about it as a group. And some really great ideas came out of those faculty involvement discussions, specifically around having the physician look in the container and make sure the tissue's in it before they leave the room and put their initials on the label. Our nurses are not to allow a specimen to leave our clinic until those physician initials are on the label, saying, yes, the tissue's in the container. But most importantly to our surgical pathologist was that the nurses then did a double check and wrote their initials on the paper pathology accession form.
Right. There's one thing that you mentioned that's very, very important. Apparently, the airlines do this when they're looking back at why did this accident happen.
Yes.
Sometimes the co-pilot is telling the pilot, or doesn't have permission to tell the pilot, I think we haven't checked something, or something is not right of you, because he or she says, well, he's the pilot. I don't have the authority to say that. Everyone seems like they're equal.
Yes.
In that room.
And that has been a huge part of the culture shift with our department, is that I've empowered the nurses to speak up and to speak up and say, I need your initials on this label before I send it off to PATH.
And before you leave the room in a rush state.
Correct.
Got to come back, doctor. Pull him out of another room or her out of another room. Is that, it possible?
That's right, because that's our opportunity. It's not the next day when the sharps container's been emptied and the trash has been taken out. It's our opportunity right then and there to retrieve that specimen if it didn't make it into the specimen container.
Right, so the rules and regulations that are set up, there's an explanation for it. When you have regular meetings, you constantly go over, this is the reason why, this is the reason why.
The long and short of it is, what happens now if our pathology receives an empty container from our department, I get up from whatever I'm doing and I physically go over to the surgical pathology department and I say, show me the container, show me the accessioning form, so that I can then backtrack and have a conversation with the people who were involved. The only time that I've had to do that since we started this process, when they pulled the container out, the specimen was in it. So now, our faculty, as part of our regular safety update that we do quarterly in our grand rounds, they heard that message loud and clear. And so now there's a great deal of consistency with everyone wanting to make sure that they're following the same process as everyone else.
Kelly, I know that you know the term near miss.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so you just described a near miss.
Absolutely.
Right? You went to the pathology department and said, let me check the specimen.
Right.
Oh, it's there.
Right.
But the question is, how did they miss it?
Right.
And might it have been missed somewhere else in that container somewhere else along the line? And many of us forget the near misses. They say, oh, my God, thank goodness we didn't miss it. And they forget the reasons why it was missed.
Right. And so what's so wonderful about our experience is that now, even though there's no direct reporting structure with surgical pathology and dermatology, they're now solidly on our team.
Mm-hmm.
And they now have a timeout process such that if they get something from our clinic that doesn't look like there's a specimen in it, they do an immediate timeout and they comb the area to make sure there wasn't a small specimen inside the lid that may have been accidentally displaced when they opened the container.
Mm-hmm.
They have found two specimens that way. And they're very, very proud, rightfully so, when they do catch those. And so we've tried to, when that happens, to make sure that everyone is very proud of the teamwork that's gone into retrieving that small skin specimen.
So not only do you do it, but you tell the team exactly what you did, and you thank them all for doing it.
Absolutely. We have a very rigorous safety reporting system at Duke. And so even these near misses are reported in a standardized database. And that's really the key of me knowing that near miss happened in surgical pathology, which is on the other side of Duke's campus.
I'm involved in risk management of some sort. Mm-hmm. That's another story. Mm-hmm. But I actually want to start a journal of near misses.
Absolutely. You learn so much that way.
There have been issues around the country, nothing to do with dermatology, but near misses, where people have been almost injured, and it's never publicized because it's just kind of lost somewhere.
Right.
And I think that those things are extremely important, certainly within your institution, and then somehow it's got to get out there, because if you had a near miss, someone else will have a near miss.
No, absolutely. There's this whole model of error reporting and improvement that instead of blaming the person who was involved with the error, instead looks at it from a systems issue.
It's called a just culture, mm-hmm. where everyone has permission to say, I think I might have been responsible for something that didn't happen but could have happened,
right.
And I need to tell you exactly how it happened. They have to have permission, because otherwise they'll feel, I better be quiet because someone's going to take away my pay, my position,
exactly.
or is going to shame me.
That's exactly right. And so as part of the safety committee that we've developed within our department, anytime there's a safety report that is originated from our department, there's an informal debrief where we just talk to the people involved, whether it's an incidental needle stick, anything like that, and just try to think about how could this have not happened? And we try to incorporate that then into our policies and our education that we provide.
Now, you're talking about policies and education. It's sounding more like an institution that you're part of. And in fact, you are part of an institution.
Mm-hmm,
but I was
mm-hmm.
in private practice for 30 years. And the question is, if I'm a private practitioner listening for dialogues, I say, I don't have policies that I write up. I just kind of do things. And it all works out. Well, occasionally it doesn't. But mm-hmm. I'll just tell the staff this is the way it's done. And I truly believe that even in private practice, besides the university systems, what you're talking about is very relevant and very important.
It absolutely is. And I spoke with some community dermatologists who had asked me to talk about melanoma. And I was telling them about this experience that we've had and this process improvement that we've done. And they said, well, that doesn't happen in our practice. You know, we never have a lost specimen or a mislabeled specimen. And when I started asking a little bit more about, well, how do those sorts of things get brought to your attention? Oftentimes, the pathology service is talking to the nurse, and there's communication that's happening, perhaps without the physician's knowledge, unless it's a completely lost specimen. So I think sometimes these things do happen, and unless you're really incorporating it as part of your formal quality improvement process, you may not be as aware that they're happening.
And I think that's a very, very important point. You made this point a few minutes ago when you said we have regular meetings where we go over the kinds of things that we found so that everyone feels important part of the team, but also they hear even things that have nothing to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
Very, right. Very important, whether it's academic or in private practice. Everyone has to feel that safety is everyone's business.
Right, and that's really where the communication piece comes mm-hmm. in. And we're very lucky to have Neil Prose on our faculty, who's really an international expert in the importance of patient-physician communication. And one of the things that came out as we started going through this process where all the faculty were involved, we really started talking about how the key tenets of communication are the same in terms of people feeling that they're all part of the same team, whether you're dealing with a patient who has a difficult diagnosis, or whether you're dealing with a new certified nursing assistant who's part of your team, that it's really the same construct, no matter if you're communicating with your colleagues or with your patients.
Absolutely.
Right. And we as physicians have a unique role in that we are the captain of the ship. Mm-hmm. When I'm working in clinic with my residents and with my nurses, if I'm running behind, they look to me for their direction of how they're to respond to that.
Mm-hmm.
If I am flustered and upset, they mimic that. Whereas if we say, this is tough right now, but we're going to get through it, they look to me for that direction as well. And it's the same thing if I'm running behind in clinic or if we have a mislabeled specimen. As the physician or the medical provider, you're really in a unique position of leadership in terms of setting the tone for your team.
Now, I'm going to change the focus a bit, talking about quality, because safety is certainly something, but we're providing quality and also related to the electronic medical record, because that was part of your title of this.
Right.
So connect with that, because I think there's a lot of good stuff in that.
Absolutely. We recently changed electronic medical records at Duke. And I think anytime there's change like that, there's a spectrum of flexibility that certainly comes into play. Some people are hardwired to be a little bit more flexible than others, but it was a change for us all. And one of the big changes that we talked about before going to this new electronic medical record is how it would impact our time in the room with our patients.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically being very aware that while we feel very driven to focus on the computer isn't there as our patient. And in a lot of our rooms, the computers are set up so that they're exact opposite to our examination tables. And well, you know, take a lot of money to completely rearrange
that.
It's surprising how often it happens.
Communication.
Right. And so what that means is that when we are talking with our patients, we need to deliberately bring them next to us as we're entering data in the computer, or physically turn our bodies away from the computer to talk with them so that the patients really feel that they're listened. And that's one of the big risks. Is there's certainly other risks in terms of data integrity and electronic medical records, but there's a risk that your patient may not be heard.
Right. Explain to me, let's assume I'm your patient and
yes.
I'm coming in and I'm seeing you. You introduce yourself as Dr. Kelly Nelson. What can I do for you? And I tell you my concern, and then all of a sudden you interrupt me and start saying, excuse me for just a second, I'm just going to input this data.
Mm-hmm.
I know that coming from Neil Prose's program, you have beautiful words to use.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me some of the stuff that either you've discovered yourself or Neil Prose has talked to you about.
Right, right. One of the things that we talked about, particularly as we changed our electronic record and we knew that everyone was going to be under stress with that transition, was being upfront with patients and just stating it. You know, this is the first day that we're using our new electronic medical record. We're very excited about it, and we know that it's going to help us provide you with better care. But we may be running a little bit behind. It may take me a little bit longer to work with the computer, and I'm so glad that we're on the same team and that you can help me be a little bit patient with this transition.
Right, so you're actually asking the patient to understand you.
Absolutely, but it means something very different if you go in and you say, gosh, I'm sorry I'm running so far behind. It's this new system that Duke made us do, which I didn't want to do. It sends a very different message if you come in with that attitude. But now that we've been with the new system for about 5 months now, and everyone is doing an amazing job, but one of the things that we do is we still try to acknowledge what we're doing. And so if someone is giving us a very complex HPI, I may say to them, Mrs. Smith, do you mind 1 second if I get logged on to your medical record? I just want to make sure that I can put everything into your record so I get it exactly right.
So you're asking permission. You're telling her what you need to do and saying,
exactly.
Would it be okay if? I think that may be Neil's expression.
Yes.
Would it be okay if I went into my medical records and checked on something?
Exactly.
And really allowing for the fact that she might say, well, no, I'm in a rush. You should have all this. Before you had all this stuff, these electronics, you could have paged through and known what I was going. All about?
And the universal answer is, of course. We have very gracious patients who do want to be on the same team as us, and that's part of it. And so with my melanoma patients, part of that is I am inviting them to look at their list of skin cancers and make sure that I have it correct. And we've found a few that were, from 15 years ago, put in as left arm instead of right arm. And so we're able to look at that and update it. But the patients really appreciate being part of that data review process.
You know, sometimes, and I'm just switching things just a bit, mm-hmm. we think of the electronic medical records as it cannot fail us. Because what we put in makes sense, and that's what's going to happen.
Right.
We can rely too much on these machines. Your thoughts on...
No, absolutely. And so we now can release pathology reports to patients electronically. However, before we do that, as we're going through this transition, I'm basically double documenting because I want to make sure that patients can access those reports through the secure messaging portal. And I want to make sure that I have the opportunity to answer patients' questions. And so for some of my younger patients, they love this concept that they'll be able to get their pathology report even if I release it to them at 11 o'clock at night or 5 o'clock in the morning. For some of my older patients, though, that isn't really the model that they are as comfortable with. So it's a little bit of making sure that we tailor the communication still to the needs of the patient, regardless of whether we can do something on the computer.
That's providing quality. Quality is tailoring something to whatever the patient needs. It is patient-oriented,
mm-hmm.
patient satisfaction kind of oriented, not because we're going to be judged by that, but because it's the right thing to do again.
Right, and that's certainly our perception. One of the challenges that we come up against is how do we measure quality in dermatology? Those sorts of patient satisfaction metrics, the ease of communication with their provider metrics, those sorts of things are really impactful to a patient feeling that they've received good care. Sometimes they're a little bit harder to measure.
They probably measure it in not too many ways.
Mm-hmm.
Did Dr. Nelson really care about me?
Mm-hmm.
Did she take the time to answer my questions?
Mm-hmm.
And did she give me the impression that she'd be there if I were worried about something?
Correct. And sometimes those are hard things to measure. We feel it when we see that patient in return and they express their gratitude or when they want their family members to receive care at our institution. We certainly feel it that way. But sometimes it's a little bit harder to measure. Part of our mission statement at Duke is caring well for our patients, their loved ones, and each other. And so it really does reflect back to the importance with which we view the teams with whom we work. And it's not just caring about our patients, but also about how we interact well with others.
Yeah, and you actually use the word that I don't hear many people use, caring about them in addition to caring for them.
Mm-hmm.
I can care for someone's acne, care for someone's psoriasis, mycosis fungoides, or whatever.
Right.
But that means I'm taking care of their disease and creams, lotions, electron beam, whatever it happens to be. But if I care about them, it's a deeper, more encompassing kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think that if they listen to some of the universals that you've been actually teaching us,
mm-hmm.
talking about, they'll have a better and more enjoyable career in dermatology, providing safe environments and also quality environments for their patients and for their staff.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Dr. Kelly Nelson.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Patient safety is the responsibility of the entire dermatological care team, including not only physicians, but also nurses, medical assistants, and the front desk staff. One part of the patient encounter in which the entire care team can help improve patient safety is during the biopsy procedure. This process starts with a decision to obtain a biopsy and ends with a finalized pathology report. This complex process requires a large number of steps encompassing many individuals and often multiple locations. Given that dermatology practices routinely generate a large volume of specimens, it is important for the entire care team to follow a systematic protocol to reduce mislabeled and missing specimens. Adhering to a standardized biopsy protocol helped reduce the number of mislabeled specimens collected at Duke University. The imperative steps in the process included a formalized timeout, in which the patient's identity and biopsy site are verbalized prior to the start of the procedure. In addition, checking and verifying the presence of specimens within collection containers were included within the standardized process. Beyond these steps, additional safety measures to decrease labeling errors include placing label printers within patient examination rooms and having a universal marking system for small specimens. Interestingly, similar improvements in specimen labeling and ultimately patient safety were observed with the use of a novel radio frequency identification system utilized within an outpatient gastroenterology endoscopy center at the Mayo Clinic. Adhering to these types of protocols improved patient safety through the use of checkpoints that reduce the human factors that are often associated with process errors. Furthermore, including the nursing staff and physicians within the process helps foster a culture of safety that is imperative to providing high-quality care. Regardless of practice setting, private or academic, it is essential for all staff members to understand that safety is everyone's business. As technology takes a greater role within our clinics, it is important that we do not let these innovations interfere with patient-physician communication. Including patients in the discussion when entering data in the electronic record may be the best approach. Allowing the patient to be included in the data review process should improve accuracy of data and patient satisfaction. While some patients may quickly adapt to electronic communication with physicians and electronic receipt of pathology reports, others may require a more hands-on approach. As a result, it is essential to tailor your use of the electronic medical record to your individual patient's needs. These types of individual modification are what patient-centered medicine is all about. Developing a successful team dynamic and culture of safety within your practice requires effective communication. The physician can be likened to the captain of the ship, functioning as the leader to set the tone for the entire clinical team. A leader within a culture of safety facilitates an environment in which residents, nurses, and support staff can openly speak up in regards to safety issues without feeling intimidated. Interestingly, recent survey data demonstrates that approximately 60% of residents reported they failed to speak out when errors were witnessed because of working with intimidating attending physicians. These results suggested that there is still work to be done in developing a culture of safety within many training clinics. I hope you enjoyed this special edition of Dialogues in Dermatology dedicated to patient safety. Next month, we'll discuss immigrant and refugee care, the role of diet and skin disease, and the treatment of acne scarring. Remember, we now have a presence on Facebook, and we'd like you to join us online for previews, info, and fun. This has been Terry Cronin with Dialogues in Dermatology. It's important to love and understand the skin, so stay passionate about dermatology and keep up all the great work you're doing on behalf of your patients. Your expertise and your commitment to your patients is appreciated by your community. Have another great month.